If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 855. This is your host, Danny. We have Paris here in the house, man. What's going on, Paris?
Good morning. It's been a while since all three of us have been together on the podcast, I think, right? About three?
Yeah, it's been over two weeks.
About two, 3 weeks. Yeah, so.
Yeah. It's all good, man. We've been releasing content throughout those weeks, you know. And also joining us this week, we have Pete in the house, man. What's up, Pete?
Yo, dude. So glad that the three of us are finally back on a stream. Jesus, feels like we've forgotten about the live show. We've had so much stuff coming.
No, we just been busy, man. You guys also got to understand, we've been extremely busy. You know, we're going to events and, you know, plus personal stuff. Like it's been crazy, man. But if you're subscribed to the podcast, you could check out all the content that we've been releasing for the past few weeks now. And it's been good, man. Great content, man. Great content. There's more coming up. Oh, trust me. We have a lot more goodies coming out, man. So I can't wait. Can't wait, man. So head over to GamertagRadio.com. Put your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes, of course. Also, if you have a smartphone, you could subscribe to your favorite podcast app and you could find GTR. Just look for Gamertag Radio. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, coming soon Pandora, and other podcast directories. Make sure to also share it with your friends. Tell them about GTR and help us grow. Help us get more new listeners, man. So also, we also got to talk about this, Pete, in Paris. E3 is coming up and we're trying to raise money to go to E3, man. Bills is kind of expensive, man. So we need the support from the GTR community to help us out attend E3 this year. We already have the badges, so now we just need the support. If you want like to donate, help us out, go to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. We can go to E3 without your support, so please help us out, man. So anything else, guys, before we go to the main topic of the show?
No. Oh, I think you covered that pretty well. Just to reemphasize, yeah, I mean, as far as the donations go, we typically try to not ask for those things. But yeah, if in this scenario, as far as going to E3, as far as upgrading some of our equipment, things like that, anything that anyone out there listening or watching this on Twitch can help out with, donate.gamertagradio.com would be greatly appreciated, and it will be going to great use as we continue to grow our content and our reach and all that good stuff. So anything that you can do is greatly appreciated.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so past couple days, we've been playing The Division 2. And before we go with our review, I'm going to go back to hands-on impressions. Sorry, not the review. Hands-on impressions. I'm going to go back to E3 2018, and I remember when was the game changer, not only for a game for that game, but also us as the fan of The Division, is when Julian was on stage at the pre-E3 event. We're sitting down, and when he said endgame, raid, and also content, free content for the whole year, that's when I was like, yo, this is a game changer. We interviewed him, one of the first interviews. Julian always mentioned that every time we have him on the podcast. But that was a game changer, man. And now, throughout the year that we've been going to events, checking out The Division, everything, and I finally got the game. I have to say, man, this, the only thing I could come up with that's like closest when it comes to like content is maybe Smash Brothers Ultimate for the Nintendo Switch. Because nowadays, games have to really have a lot of content, man. $59.99 is pretty expensive, man, after a while, buying games all the time. But yo, it is freaking amazing the amount of stuff that you can do in this game, man. So I just want to start with just saying that first. And we're going to talk about a lot of things about the game. But before we go with the hands-on impressions, anything you guys want to say about that? Like just the journey we went through, going to all these events and meeting up with the developers throughout the year before the game came out? Paris or Pete?
I mean, for me, it's kind of like you said, well, really, it goes back to 2016 for me. It goes back to when Pete and I went to that preview event out in Los Angeles for The Division 1 and interviewed the creative director at that time. And, you know, I've told this story many times before, but when we started talking about, I asked questions about Endgame and he didn't really have an answer for me, I just mentally checked out on The Division 1. I just did. And it wasn't something that I was super excited for. It wasn't something that I was very interested in because I just felt like the content wasn't going to be there for me. You know, flash forward to June of 2018 and we meet Julian Garrity. And for the first time he was ever able to publicly talk about The Division 2 was with us. And he starts it off with Endgame and he mentions 8-person raid and, you know, all that that went in, and we instantly got excited about it. And, you know, we played that demo at E3 and just the journey to go to Red Storm to then go to the actual Division 2 preview event, playing the private beta, playing the public beta. And here we are now with the final game in our hands and we're playing it and it's living up to that expectation that we had back in June of 2018. You know, and I know we'll get into this a little more, but I'm very impressed with it. I'll say this: if we start talking best games of 2019, it's on the list for sure for me, anyway. So I won't go too much into it. But Pete, anything you want to add?
And I think it's a great way to start that off, right? With how you and I started off with this journey, me going all in on the Division as a title, as a franchise in general for Ubisoft. I saw the vision back then, and yes, as it's been covered many, many times by not just us but a lot of other outlets, you know, it had its stumbling blocks, and I think for all intents and purposes it was necessary, right? Because we see what's happening with other titles, and I don't want to make this conversation and turn into that direction, but when you launch a brand new IP in the way that they have, in the way that they have for this game, they've done a phenomenal job in listening to the community, taking that feedback and making sure that it's, you know, 100%, you know, what people want. And I love the way that you have embraced the Division as a whole. You've given the middle finger to your favorite baby over there in the back corner. Danny's loving it. And I love the way the Discord community has exploded with interactions, and people are jumping out. We've got the clans going on Xbox One and on PC. I'm waiting to see who pops up and creates the Gamertag Radio clan on PS4. And I love how just the overall community, not just ours, but the entire gaming community has come full circle and come together as a result because of the Division. And it's fun. You know, we're streaming, we're playing with other players, we're playing with people that we don't normally play with. You know, so I think it's great. I mean, we've gained people in, at least on our PC clan, we've gained people that I've played with as randoms. And they were like, oh, dude, let me check out what you guys have been doing. And they've joined up and been part of the clan now. I think it was JJ Gonzalez, I think, if you see him on the PC clan. That's one of them. I don't know if he's a listener, but him and I joined up. He saw that I had a clan. He joined up on PC and he was like, hey, mind if I join? Like, sure. Things like that. You know, it's like they've done so many things. And, you know, kudos to Massive, you know, Julian Garrity, obviously creative director. The PR team over there at Ubisoft has done a phenomenal job. You know, Reflections, NNC, and all of the other Ubisoft studios, because they all work together on all of their projects. Red Storm, you know, Tony and Terry and those guys. Was bang up job, phenomenal. Slow golf, hand clap, and everything above.
You brought up one point, Pete, that a couple things that I actually wanted to touch on when you said that. First, like you alluded to my other game that I really like to play. I tweeted out during the week that the best compliment that I can give the Division 2 is I'm not playing Destiny 2. And I freaking love Destiny, right? We know this since 2014, I've been playing that game and I love that game. There's new content out right now for Destiny 2 and I'm not playing it because I'm playing this game, because that's how much I'm liking what I played. And if you would have asked me that a year ago, I'd have laughed in your face. And I think that's a credit to Ubisoft as a whole, because another thing you alluded to was when you go through that prologue and at the very end, you know, it gives you the Division 2 logo and it shows you the studios. It starts with Massive, Reflections, and on and on. And you see all the studios that have been involved within Ubisoft to make this game. And it's been such a collaborative effort for Ubisoft, the publisher, to put this out. This is such an ambitious title when you really start deep diving into what they've done in the open world, the activities that you have just in the main campaign, and then what you're going to get when you jump into the actual end game for the Division 2. And you think the fact that they got all of that to mostly work pretty gosh darn smooth at launch. I mean, of course, there's bugs. We've been saying this for the longest. There's going to be bugs. There's going to be issues. But nothing that's been truly game-breaking at launch. Nothing server-wise that people can't get in and actually play the game and enjoy. The fact that that's all working from early access to when it officially launched on the 15th is a credit to Ubisoft. It really is. And this isn't, look, I'm taking my shield glasses off when I say this. This isn't, oh, we got to love Ubisoft. Oh, it's none of that. It's just, hey, props to them, because this could have been a freaking disaster and it wasn't. And they were able to pull it off. So kudos to Ubisoft. Kudos to Massive. Just kudos to Julian Garrity and that entire development team. The fact that even the bugs that are out right now, they're acting to them pretty quickly. You know, not everything's not fixed. Of course not. But they've acknowledged them. They're talking about it, active on the forums or active on social media. They're letting us know what their roadmap is to try and get some of these things resolved. And like I said, some of them they've already taken care of. But yeah. I'm impressed. I'm impressed. And I'll shut up because I'll talk forever. I'm impressed to the point where when I look at the Division II right now, this is the new gold standard. It is for these open world RPG, and I'm doing air quotes, looter shooter games. They've set a gold standard now for this, because this is how you launch these kind of games. You pack it full of content, you QA the hell out of it before it comes out, so that when we jump in, we have things to do. We aren't waiting to be promised, oh, down the road, you're going to get this. No, all of this stuff is available to you day one, and it's a smooth experience, whether you're on PC, Xbox, or PlayStation 4. Just credit to Massive and all of Ubisoft for being able to pull this off. I am highly impressed with what I've seen so far. Mm-hmm. You know, just kudos to them.
Now, very quick, I want to mention that I'm pretty far in the game, and I mentioned this to Paris and Pete. Right now, my gear is 364, 65 around there. No, I'm just mentioning it. War tier 3, I think. So the reason why I'm so far ahead is because it's not because I'm rushing it. I'm rushing the game. It's because I love the game so much. And right now, and I did this on purpose, I released recorded episodes because I want to just focus on the Division. And I'm not working, so I have a lot of time to just play. And I just can't stop playing the game, man. I've been playing this nonstop. I also played with Arctic and a couple other community members. And at first, I played the game solo because when we got the game, there wasn't that many people that had the game at that time. We got it, I believe, was it on a Sunday or Monday?
Early access.
Exactly. Well, it went live Monday early access.
We got it midnight New Zealand on the 12th is when we got it.
Yes. There you go. So there was not that many people playing, so I was just playing solo. And I know there was a couple questions on Discord and also on Twitter asking, we're like, is this game good for solo players? And I'll say this, I'll say yes, because the majority of times I was playing solo, and I will go to like matchmaking for like only the main missions, and sometimes if we get along pretty good with people that played that randomly, I'll go and we'll still continue. We'll do like side missions or other activities in the game. That's why I think, in my opinion, that's why the raid, if they do this right, will work also for solo players. And I think that's the reason why in Destiny.
No.
Paris, let me finish. Mm-hmm. Paris, let me finish. This is my time to talk. You could talk whenever you want after I'm done. The reason why a lot of people didn't complete the raid on Destiny was because a lot of solo players don't have a lot of friends that probably has a game, so they couldn't really find other people to do the raid together. So yes, the percentage is pretty low when it comes to like to see how many people completed that in the game. I think with this, yes, it will work better with people that you know, of course, but you can't forget those that don't have a lot of friends online too. Because right now we're just focusing is about our friends and our community and that's it. No, there's other people that don't have friends. And I think just having that option that is also matchmaking, that's fine. You don't have to go to that route. What we could do, because we have a pretty good community, is pretty big. We could just play with our friends and community. That's perfect. But we can't forget those, man, that don't have friends, man. And I think doing the stronghold matchmaking, doing the main missions matchmaking, it worked. And I even found, I added a lot of new people, man. Like the community that I discovered so far in the game, yo, I met a lot of cool people, man, playing it. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's fine, man. I'm loving the game. I can't stop playing it. So I know, Paris, you disagree, which is fine. You know, I understand that, but I think as a person that multiple people that hit me up asking about solo players, I think this is will be great too for them too, man. They're not going to feel left out. You know what I'm saying? So go for it.
I will simply say, because we don't need to waste a bunch of time on this topic, if this mm-hmm. is anything like a Destiny raid or World of Warcraft raid, which I'm going to imagine it probably is, it would be like herding cats to try and get not six, eight people to work together as a team that don't know each other and could properly communicate to do a raid. So I will respectfully disagree with what you're saying. That's why there's these other activities mm-hmm. in the game that you can matchmake on and play that way. But a raid is supposed to be the pinnacle of cooperative gameplay. And I personally will be disappointed if there's matchmaking in a raid, because that's not how it should work at all. But that's just my opinion. We can move on from that.
Yeah.
I just want to throw my hat in the ring real quick for that. I'd like to see six, 8 months or maybe a year from now, the success rate between variable matchmaking in a raid mm-hmm. versus, mm-hmm. Purposefully grouped up groups of people in the raid. I want to see the success rates to see if matchmaking works, because while I agree with you, Paris, because you and I are battle tested raid veterans, right? When it's come to games like Destiny, I just want to see if it's possible. Like, it should work theoretically, right? From a technical perspective, matchmaking players should work. Whether it actually is successful in its delivery of it, will people be able to successfully play cooperatively in an effort like that and succeed is a totally different situation, which is why I want to see the numbers. I want to see the stats. Randomized matchmaking in raid, what's the success rate? X over 100, and then pre-populated teams going in purposefully to go into the raid as a group of eight people and their success rate. And then just do the math between the two, see which one is more successful. There's going to be people who are like Sherpas, LFG style people who are going to go in and group up, but that's going to be interesting. I want to see how they actually play that. Are they going to have their own internal LFG type system, or are they going to depend on other third party, mechanics, such as whether it be a variable, one of those LFG sites, or people grouping up and randomizing or people grouping up from via Discord or other groups.
I'm fine with an internal LFG, and we really should move on from this because I think we're wasting our time.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But I'm fine with an internal LFG where you're purposely getting certain requirements together to get eight people to do a raid. But if just pure, like right now, the way it works in the game, just, hey, I'm going to start a raid, hit X for matchmaking. Hell no. Freaking disaster. I don't agree with it at all, but that's just me. We can move on.
Okay. All right. Cool. Now, let's talk about your experience so far. The first few hours of the game. I already completed the campaign, and I'm loving. I just loved the story, the whole things that you discovered in the game. Certain things that the people that you meet, in the game that will also unlock new side missions, new activities. I'm just loving it so much, man. So I want to hear this from, especially from you, Paris, you that really got into the Division 1, I think was after 1.8. Now that you finally got the Division 2, what's your thoughts so far of like the first few hours in the game? Because I believe you're like what, level 20 or something like that, right? Like you're still having a lot of activities you've been completing. So what are your thoughts about that?
So yeah, I'm not an in-game right now. I'm level 24, I believe, is where I'm at. I still have a bunch of main missions left to do, side missions. I've taken the approach of, I don't want to rush through this game at all. I'm taking my time. Now, I will fully admit the story to me is I'm barely paying attention to it. It's not my focus on the game. whatever. But I'm having fun just going into the world and just exploring. Like a great example is I was playing with Khalif from Spawn on Me the other day, and we just loaded in. And for the first hour, we didn't have a set activity or thing we wanted to do. we just randomly explored the world and was just finding random things to do and having a blast just doing that, just encountering the AI naturally out in the world, fighting them, finding like contaminated zones and doing the puzzles on that to, you know, get the information out, you know, running into a random bounty here or there, just those things before we actually like, hey, you think we ought to do a mission? Yeah, let's go do a mission. And to me, that's the sweet sauce for the game. The fact that that open world has enough intriguing things to do just on its own, where you can basically make your own story, you know. And one thing that I've been doing is I've been capturing all my gameplay footage while I play. So I'll go through, and if I remember like a funny moment or something we'll do, I'll go in and I'll just clip it out really quick and throw it up on Twitter or something like that, and just throw a Division 2 hashtag on it. And it's like, I'm kind of just slowly but surely telling the my story of the Division 2 as I play through it. I'm pretty sure I'll hit level 30 by the end of this weekend, and then I'll start advancing through the world tier stuff. I think a smart thing that Massive did, which, you know, I know some people don't agree with, is the fact that World Tier 5 is not available yet. So it's almost a thing of, it's like, hey, everybody, slow down, smell the roses. You don't need to rush to the absolute finish line just yet. Take your time. Now, if I had to guess, next Friday is when they'll unlock Tidal Basin, which is going to then allow you to get in World Tier 5. Then they give people a week in World Tier 5. Then they say, okay, now you can do the raid, experience the ultimate, the pinnacle of what this game has to offer. And that gives everybody an overall 2 weeks to just play the game. So it's not what we've seen in the past, like with Destiny and everything, where new content comes out, hey, the raid's available 3 days later, and everyone just rushes spending, you know, 18 hours a day just playing the game to get to the end, and then they're completely exhausted, and only the people that don't have a job or it's their job to sit, stream or you know, play on YouTube or whatever, they're the only ones that can experience that in-game content day one. Whereas I think if I see what Massive is doing by giving that 2 week approach, they're going to allow everyone to play at their pace to be able to experience this. It's been fantastic. Another thing, because I'm not in the Gamertag Radio clan, just full disclosure on that, I'm in another clan right now, and I've been able, the clan features have been fantastic. Being able to have, because I'm playing on PC, to have clan chat on the PC. So while I'm playing, we're communicating back and forth has been great. And just the leveling system that goes with that has been great. It's been a very fun social experience for me. And like I said, I don't feel compelled to rush at all. I've been going into Dark Zone solo and with a couple other people, and just exploring that side of it has been great. I've not touched PvP at all, by the way. I've not done any of conflict. I don't really know if I will, unless there's some loot incentive for me to go do it, which, by the way, speaking of the loot, I love how Washington, D.C. is just littered with loot. Absolutely littered with loot. There's something to find in every nook and cranny of the open world. Not to mention, when I get a drop in the game, I actually get excited about it. Mm-hmm. You know, when I see that purple or that yellow glow, I'm like, oh, and I run over to it because I'm like, oh my God, this is exciting mm-hmm. for me. What am I going to get? You know what I mean? But even with that, I'm progressing through the game. I'm constantly flipping through weapons. I'm testing things out. I'm testing mods out. I'm doing all this stuff. And I'm not even at the end game yet. And I shouldn't be, because the game hasn't been out a week yet. So that's a good thing. I don't feel like I'm already running out of things to do. I know there's still a ton more things for me to do in the game, and I can play it at my pace. So that's what has me excited about the Division 2 more than anything.
What about you, Pete?
Well, to speak on what Paris was saying, I don't know if I'm as big a fan of maybe the way the loot has been dropping. Yes, I understand that, you know, they're early on in the game right now. They give you a lot of loot and because it's early on, it allows you to play around with the amount of loot, you know, with the different loot that you have. It gives you an opportunity to learn, okay, maybe the LMG is what I want to play. Maybe I want to play AR. Maybe I want to play SMG. I want to play shotguns. You know, there's a lot of varied weapons that drop, but sometimes I kind of feel that it's a bunch of junk/useless drops, because And maybe this is just because it's me, right? But I tend to favor a specific style of gameplay. And while the amount of drops that occur now may allow people to just, you know, switch around, see if they maybe like an SMG. I actually figured out that I like the SMG, but I don't, you know, it didn't work in the gameplay that we were doing. It just, sometimes I feel like there's almost too much useless / junk loot, and maybe I just need to keep working more on crafting and building up and using those mats that drop, or you know, from deconstructing, you know, mods or weapons and stuff like that. Quick note: do not crush your purple stuff, because apparently some of those purple gear mods are actually better than the high end yellow ones. So a little public service announcement there. As far as the amount of loot, I think it'll favor those that play longer. And I think this was mentioned already previously from one of our interviews with the folks at Red Storm that, yes, it's a progressive style loot system. So the more time and effort you put into the game, the better your loot will be. It may not always be what you're specifically wanting in that particular moment, but it will, you know, it takes time. It's a grinder. It's a looter shooter. That's one of the main tenets of the game style. So, yeah, man. If you see it, go for it, man. It's a lot of fun. And I'm curious, Paris, what's your favorite setup right now in the game?
I don't have one, and that's kind of the point.
Okay.
I am constantly switching through the different weapons and just early builds to kind of see what's fun. I'm switching up my skills to try and see do I like the turret or the drone, or you know, the hive, you know, all that. That's where I'm at right now in the game, because I'm not in the end game, so I'm not specifically focusing on, all right, I need to create this build. I feel like this is the time of the game for me to try to touch everything. Mm-hmm. To see what I like, so that when I do get to the end game and I am trying to prepare for a raid, all right, I know I want to go with this build. Because like I said, right now is about, we're still in the grind mode. We're still in the level up mode. So I don't want to fall in love with one particular gun or build and not touch them all. That's where I am. Again, game ain't been out a week, so I feel like I don't want to focus on anything. So again, I respectfully disagree with what you're saying about the loot, because to me, that's the whole point. I don't feel like anything I pick up is junk right now. I feel like everything I pick up is a new opportunity to try out something different or new. So that's where I'm at with the game right now.
Yeah. And the thing is, Pete, if there's stuff that you don't like, I just donate it.
Right.
My projects.
Part of the projects.
That helps out too, you know. That part I love that, because there's so much stuff to do, man. Like when it comes to that, there was one time, like for like a whole hour, I was just concentrating on that, just the settlements. I want to like upgrade it and, you know, donate as much as I can. I was doing that for like a good hour, man, without doing side missions and missions. I was just doing just that. That part is pretty cool. Also, let me ask you guys, from the three factions so far, besides Blast Tusk, which of the three of the factions do you like the most? So far for me, I just love True Sons. They're freaking aggressive as hell, man, in the game. Love that a lot. But what about you guys? Which one is your favorite so far in the campaign?
I want to say they're the Outcasts. They're the ones with the hoodie without the sleeves, I think. The yellow red hoodie. Mm-hmm. I think that's because that's the only way I know. I can really tell right now is those are my favorite ones. I think those are the ones, Paris, when you and I were playing yesterday, it wasn't you and I. I was playing with one of our community members, Bosox MD. We came up against like an elite convoy, and they just kept climbing up out of the ground, and they were all wearing these yellow hoodies, and they kept attacking us, and all of them were yellow bars. And it was like so difficult because I was a lowly level 17, and we were all upscaled to like level 28, 29. And so it was like everybody's just getting dropped and getting picked up and dropped and getting picked up. And there was just, it was so chaotic. But I think right now, that's one of the things I want to talk about. The factions and the AI. I love the way that Massive and the rest of the teams have worked it so that you shoot at them, they don't just hide. There's some that are aggressive, they run at you. There's some that will flank you to the left. There's so many times, Paris, you and I were playing yesterday, we were underground, and next thing you know, like we're like, okay, we think we have this whole thing got. And then we're getting flanked from the sides from people that we may have missed or we didn't see. Mm-hmm. And then we're getting dropped. And it's like, wait a minute, where do these people come from? That's not how we're, mm-hmm. that's not what we're trained, quote unquote, in games like this to experience. We're not used to those things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a phenomenal asset to this franchise. I mean, it's not something, it's something that's probably what we've always wanted, but never really expected from a developer to actually deliver to gamers. So to see them mm-hmm. actually step outside and say, we're not just going to throw hordes at people. We're going to make them semi-smart. And we're going to have them either flank or run and reposition and wait for backup to come, which is another thing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah. It, you know what? This is the closest to AI from Halo 1, like that type of vibe I get when I'm playing it. But yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say one scenario that happened early on. I told you guys about this offline is I was playing with Khalif. God, I forget who else we were playing with. Anyways, we were on a side mission and it was in like an office, like inside a courtyard. We're on the bottom floor and it was like three levels. And the AI was the hyenas. The AI was on the third floor shooting at us. And we were kind of staying on the bottom floor in one spot, just shooting up. One of the hyenas was smart enough with the AI from the third floor to come all the way downstairs and then flank us from behind. And that was like a drop the mic moment from there. I go, oh my God, this AI is fantastic that he didn't just stay up on his area, on his floor. He was smart enough to know to go all the way down to us to try and get us from behind. That's one thing. If we get the opportunity, I would love to speak with Massive about with their AI team about how that's developed, because each faction attacks mm-hmm. you different. And to answer your question, Danny.
Yep.
Yeah, I like the True mm-hmm. Sons. They've been my favorite of the three factions so far. Again, I haven't encountered the Black Tusk in the final game yet, but I just love the way that they attack you. I love the fact that they'll get prone on the ground and shoot you. They also flank you. They can be very aggressive. And like Pete, you were saying when we were playing last night, it was like if you miss one of them, yo, they will flank, come around, come from behind. You got to have your head on a swivel. And that's, again, the sweet sauce. The fun thing about it is I don't feel like I'm just – it's not just dumb AI that's a bullet sponge standing in one spot, you know, waiting for me to headshot it. They're actually actively doing things to get you out of cover, to force you to move, to force you to think about your strategy on how you're going to attack them. And is it perfect? No, of course it's not perfect. But there's enough of those moments that you're like, well, damn, I wasn't expecting that. And to me, that's the best compliment you can give to their AI, that they're constantly surprising you in unique ways.
Yep. And even when you go to a control point and you call for backup, even your backup, the AI is really, really smart, man. It's they did a phenomenal job.
That was something Julian said when we're at Julian Garrity, when we're at the preview event, something he said to me saying that really, you know, he wasn't talking about the Black Tusk. He was talking about the original three faction. He goes, really, there's a fourth faction. And he goes, the fourth faction are the settlement, the people, the actual people of Washington, D.C., because they're fighting for their survival as well. And he was pointing out that you will see that in the game where, you know, once you capture a control point or a settlement and they're being attacked, they're gearing up and fighting too. They're going out getting supply. The whole thing, it's like there's this living world that goes on without you. You know what I mean? And that's kind of the funny thing about it, because we all technically have our own instances of the world and we can obviously hop back and forth when we're co-opting together. But my instance of the world is unique to me. It's not like Pete's. It's not like yours or anyone else's. And in that world, you know, if this was like Wreck-It Ralph or something like that, where the characters were alive, they're fighting a war constantly. And I just happen to jump in every now and again and help where I can. And when you look at it from that point of view, dude, again, just bravo to Ubisoft, man, for being able to create this, because I was not expecting this a year ago. I really wasn't.
Yeah. Even when you check out the map, you see the people going from one control point to the other, like they're mm-hmm. taking supplies mm-hmm. and you see where they're going. So that's why I always I'm looking at the section of the map. I'm like, all right, you know what? I think it's time for me to get this control point so they could continue to walk and take more supplies, because honestly, that also helps out on your projects and a lot of other things that you didn't even know that's going on the side, man, which is awesome.
Another cool thing is when you're looking on your map, you can actually see convoys with the enemies or factions.
Yes.
It's not just yours.
Yeah.
So you can see that and be like, you know what? I'm feeling myself. I'm going to get a little gassed and I'm going to go up and I'm going to disrupt their convoy. I'm going to take their loot. That actually helps. It actually benefits your settlements because now they don't have to worry about it. They can actually start taking their supplies off the stuff. So there's little things, there's little nuances to the factions and stuff like that. Again, like we've all been saying, man, kudos, man. They've just, it's almost as if they've thought of everything, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Even this part, dude, like when you go to the progression part of the game, from your character and you see all the stuff that you've been completing, there's also other things that I discovered the day. I'm like, I didn't even know that was even there. There's videos that where some people had like hidden video cameras and they recorded some of the factions. And you would get to learn more about the faction. And even one of them, to me, in my opinion, I think there's a hint of like stuff that we're probably going to get in the future of DLC content or maybe raids that's outside of Washington, D.C., that'll give you hints like stuff that's happening outside of the city. There's audio logs, so much stuff that you could spend hours and hours without even playing the game, just reading all the stuff that you've been discovering, and you will learn more about not only the faction but everything that's going on about the characters. It's really good. I don't know if you guys have been doing that.
Yeah, too, I haven't actually dived into any of that yet. I've seen it. Like, I've gone in and seen it in the, in the menus and everything. But, because I'm still just playing through. But, like, even the other thing with the deck of 52, the 52 world bosses that are out there, I've been encountering some of them. And, again, it's just random in the game. It's not like they're always sitting in a set spot. They just randomly appear. They're on their own loop doing their thing. And then you encounter them. They drop... you know, their playing card, so to speak. And it has its own lore on that as well. And a good friend of ours helped write all of those. So that makes it even more awesome to know that, people we know or that are helping making this game had a part in it. And yeah, there's so many great little nuances, like even just the quality of life stuff. And I can only speak to the PC. Like, you can change your UI for the inventory to a grid style in the game, or even from the keyboard, because I know one of the complaints is you have to basically log out of the game and then you have to quit it to get back to your desktop. No, you can go into chat and just do a hashtag quit or /quit. You're out. Done. Just little tiny things like that. And Pete even said you can do the /logout. That works too. Just like little stuff.
I actually guessed because I couldn't remember what the command was.
Yeah.
And I was just like, well, F it. Went into chat /logout and it took me back to the main menu. Yeah. So that way I could change or I can. And it's a great way to like leave team if you can't. If it's actually a lot quicker to just do that instead of like going through the menu. And that's one of the things, unfortunately, for me. And I think it's kind of been echoed. It's funny. Echo now, in the game. Now, hold on a second. But the one thing that bothers me is like if I'm like 12 layers deep into my menu because I'm trying to figure out which weapon or mod I want to put onto a thing, I have to spam my escape key to get back to my gun, to gunplay. It's like I have to go into reverse to get out of all of the menus to get back into the gameplay as opposed to just being able to press a button and go right back into gameplay. So I wish there was a way that and maybe I just haven't found it out. If somebody else has seen it, let me know. Is there a way to get straight out of your menus and right back into the gameplay, or do you have to just sit there and spam escape to get back into your gun, to the actual game, right? Like once you've been into the menus to like change a weapon or a mod, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, again, these are quality of life things that we obviously got to bring our feedback on to find out if they exist in the game already or if it's something they could change. Which, just to add on to that, one thing I was going to bring up, and I'm going to take my shield glasses off for this one again. we're obviously gassing the game up right now because we love what we're playing and we think it's fantastic. Is it a perfect game? Abso-frickin-lutely not.
Absolutely.
It is not. Like I said, there are bugs in the game that they're... things they need to address and fix. I know one point of contention right now has been the time to kill, like in the optimized dark zone. It seems to be super short. So there's been a debate. Is it too short? Is it fine? Like people are getting one-shotted. Like it doesn't come down to your skill level. It comes down to, do I have the beefiest piece of gear in the best build. And if I get the jump on you, there's no way you're going to be able to counter it and you're dead. So that's our argument for another day. Again, the game's only been out a week, so we don't know how that's going to go. But I do see that as a major concern, not only for the Occupied Dark Zone, but for PvP that's not normalized, things like that. You know what I mean? You could argue that the story is still lackluster. It could have been better. I mean, you could argue the way that the world tiers work, that with the gear score, locking certain activities down, that you can't tackle them until you reach a certain score. Is that a right approach? It's not a perfect game by any means. But even let me bring it positive for a second. Even one thing that was annoying the hell out of me in the beta is actually something I enjoy doing now, is answering call for backup. I was doing that for like a couple hours one day where that's all I did. Anytime somebody asked for help, I would jump into their thing, help them out, would wave and say, okay, thanks, bye, and then go back to my world, do my thing. Now, I fully admit, because if this person is online and sees my name, he's probably cursing me out right now. So I answered a call for backup the other day, and this guy wanted to actually be chatty with me and talk and wanted to hang out and explore the world together. And that is not what I wanted to do. So after I helped him, I just quietly hit / quit and got the hell out of there because I did not want to help. I didn't want to help him no more. Yeah. So bro, these guys are freaking a-hole. But the fact that that's even there is an awesome thing. And it's not as annoying as I thought it was going to be. But It's hard for me to say too many negative things right now, because really the negatives for me have been the bugs, and they haven't been absolutely game breaking yet. And Massive is addressing them and trying to fix them. But of course, the game's not perfect. Again, the tactical cover shooter based thing is not for everyone. I do think there's some annoying things with the way the cover works in here, where I'm not sticking the cover sometimes. I'm thinking I'm in cover and I'm not. But these are all things that, as long as we're communicating and providing feedback, they can fix. But the actual content is there. I am happy with the content that I'm seeing in the game right now. So that's a positive thing. Another thing, good friend of ours, Tanya, she had tweeted at Julian Garrity about when you do the creative player. I am an African-American and I wanted to create Angela Davis with 20-foot afro, and I couldn't do that because natural hair isn't really there for people of color right now. Right. She tweeted at him about it. I was watching the State of Game. He was on it. He addressed it on State of the Game that's something that they want to add into the game, to have more natural hairstyles in the game, which is awesome, because the second there's an afro in the game, I'm putting an afro on my character. So those, you know, so again, that's another nitpick I would have, but that's something at least they've publicly acknowledged and they're going to try and address.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Actually, a quick PSA for players, because you mentioned the cover and I just found this out yesterday. If you've got Tobii Eye Support, which is, it's an eye tracker that you can set up for your computer. It's a peripheral. You can actually turn off for more immersion. You can actually turn off the visual aspect of it. And instead of having to look, instead of actually having to physically do it, you can use your Tobii Eye Tracker to move your character to cover in the game once it's been configured. So if you've got a Tobii Eye Tracker peripheral and that's something that you want to do in this game, that's pretty dope.
Yep. Also, I want to mention this. So yesterday, I was online and I was checking out the clan, and I noticed that Arctic was on, right? So he was like maybe level 20 or something around that time. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to join Arctic. So I joined Arctic. And remember, I'm ahead, right? I noticed when I went to Arctic, we now both on the same level. And we still continue to play the game. I was still getting gear from his world. But it's cool how people will never feel left out. Like, you could join friends, or their friends could join you. And whoever is the highest level, they will match it with everybody that joins, so everybody could play together. So I think that part, I think, was great that they added that feature in the
level
game.
Scaling.
The scaling is perfectly.
Yeah, I was like, I was mentioning earlier, really I was a level 17 going in, and I randomly joined up with a friend, and they were all level, well, the highest level character was level 28. And I found out like after like 10 minutes of playing with these guys that two other guys were like 18 and 19. So like he was basically Sherpa-ing us, right? It was shout out to Bosox if he's watching or listening. And so he was just like, yeah, come on through. So like next thing you know, I look down and I'm basically level 28, right? I'm playing as a level 28. And unlike other games where you get power scaled up, but you're basically useless at this point, I was actually able to act to functionally contribute to the game. It wasn't like I was just, you know, might as well have been shooting peas or spitballs. You know, I was actually doing damage. I was contributing, and it makes the game a lot more fun and allows you to not have to be ignored or ignore your friends who may be lower level. It's a great way for you to still be able to play with your friends, do other missions that you may not be ready for or leveled up for, participate and actually play. So it's a great way. Great game.
So I'm wondering, once the raid gets unlocked later on, is it going to be also the same thing for that, to scale everybody this close to the same level or gear score, so everybody could play? You still won't feel left out once that happens. You think that's possible too for that or no?
Can you anybody repeat that one again? Because I didn't catch. Okay, the question.
So let's say the raid gets unlocked, right? And there's people maybe in our clan that it's not up there yet. Maybe we're like in gear 400, whatever. And
it's like the strongholds. Up? You have to be a certain level. You can't get power scaled into the raid or a stronghold. You have to actually be of level to enter it.
Because that happened to me too. I tried to join somebody else's game. To do the stronghold, because I only needed like maybe two more points just to unlock it, and it wasn't available for me to play. So I was like, those are hard limited.
You have to be level 28 or level 30 to actually get into the strongholds, and I'm fairly certain that's how it's going to be for the raid. It's been like that for other raids and other game in other titles as well. You have to actually be the of level, because your weapons have to. There's no reason for there. That's the whole purpose, right? That is your quote unquote end game. You need to be leveled. Mm-hmm. You need to be high level to actually participate in those, as well as your gear score.
Cool.
Oh, one thing I meant to mention before I forget is the bounties. Like, we had started the bounties last night with Pete and Dev. Woo! That was not, I shouldn't say surprisingly hard, but an enjoyable experience with the difficulty that came with trying to grab one of those bounties, man. Cause good googly moogly, they were coming from everywhere. And we really had to buckle down and think about the strategy that we're doing to take down the target for the bounty, which was cool. But have you guys also encountered in the world where I've run into this guy randomly out in the world in different spots, and he'll give me a bounty on the fly, and then you go to that bounty and you take him? Dude, I've had some of the most epic failures with those stupid bounties where I get aggressive thinking, okay, I'm going to just take him out, and then I die, and then that's it. You lose the bounty. You fail. You know, you're not able to go back and
do it. Is that the one? His name, I think, is called the Snitch. Is that the one?
No, the Snitch is actually one of the deck of 52.
The deck of 52.
No, I know. Yeah, I thought he was the one that gives out the deck of 52. He's not a part of it.
I don't know. This guy was in an alleyway with a truck behind him. And I was running in the middle of an alley heading towards, I think it was an agent unknown activity. And I saw him and he was like, hey, agent, would you like to wrap up a bounty for me? And I was like, wait a minute.
Sure.
He's like, well, excuse me? Talk to me more about this bounty, sir. And he was like, I've got this bounty for, I forgot what character. And it actually made me go back into a building that I had unlocked and emptied out before previously from a different mission. Mm-hmm. And there he was. He was one of the bounty players. So. And it actually ended up, if I recall correctly, that bounty was actually one of the deck of 52 characters.
Dope. Well, it's good, man. Overall, man, the game is phenomenal. I'm loving it so far. And you know, if you're listening to GTR and you're planning to get the game, or you just purchased the game a couple of days ago, make sure to join our clan, Gamertag Radio. Right now, we have it available for Xbox and PC. How many members already joined for the PC? You guys know right now? Anyone? Pete? Oh,
sorry, I was muted. I have not checked. At last check, I think it was 19 last night. But I have to check. I haven't checked this morning.
Yeah, last night I checked and we were like number 24 already right now. So I was like getting excited. All right, we're getting members now joining. That's really cool. So anybody that has a PlayStation 4 version, we'd like to create a Gamertag Radio clan there. Let us know, make it happen, and that would be cool. You know, because I know we have some community members that purchase that game for the PlayStation. You know, I don't want them to feel left out. You know, I want them to also be part of the experience. And the cool thing is that every time you're doing activities, yo, we all contributed to this, to the clan, man. And I remember us, I was playing one of the missions and I noticed it said clan level up. I'm like, oh snap. So the clan, man, is being more active, man. That's cool. Really, really cool, man. So I know once you unlock certain levels, there's going to be features that also going to be available in the future. Like I'm trying to, I think by now we're there, clan level 4, where we're now going to have weekly bounties events only for bounty activities only for the clan members, and it changes every week. So I think by now we're in level 4, I believe. I'm not sure, but that's a cool feature that I like too in the game and the clans. So anything else about the clans before we move forward for you guys?
Confirmed, it is his name is the Snitch.
The Snitch. Okay, all right, there you go. All right. So, I mean, anything else, Manga? We talked about this game for a good almost 60 minutes here, man.
I just feel like, good, you know, so. It's going to be an ongoing conversation. Again, these are the very early thoughts. I mean, we're not going to hit everything. I mean, we've even seen kind of what their monetization is going to be with the loot crates and things like that. Again, not something I'm going to invest into at all, but it is there. Yeah, like I said, no game's going to be perfect. I'm sure we're going to see more issues, you know, as we venture further into it. You know, Danny, I know you've seen more than Pete and I because you've already hit world tier stuff and done the strongholds and everything. So, again, it's just going to be an ongoing conversation for me. I am enjoying what I'm seeing because and I can't take credit for this because it was Game Informer because they were talking about the Division 2 where one of the writers said when he compares this, and I'm just going to say it, when he compares this to Anthem, he doesn't have to make excuses for why he's enjoying the game. He gets to just enjoy it because it's not about the promise of what's coming in the future. It's about what's already available to you now. You know what I mean? And I think that is the good thing about the Division 2. Yeah, we know there's a year one roadmap and there's content coming, but I don't have to go, oh man, I can't wait till that drops. I'm just focused on what I already got in my hands right now, what's here today, what I know is coming right now versus worrying about future DLC or future promises for changes. What we have today has me very excited for the future of the franchise, of the IP, for what's to come in year one and beyond, because I'm enjoying myself today and not looking at it going, oh man, I see a great game here. If only they could change X, Y, and Z. I don't have that complaint right now with the Division 2, and it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. You, Pete, before we wrap it up?
I think he said it all. I mean, at this point, I mean, just keep adding. Just keep doing what you're doing. They've done such a phenomenal job with adding, you know, things to do for everybody. You don't have to be a hardcore player to enjoy it. You could be mm-hmm. a casual. You know, if you want to spend 9, 10, 12 hours playing the game, there's plenty of stuff for you to do. If you only have 3 or 4 hours a week to devote to it, or maybe 1 hour, there's things to do for everyone, regardless of your play style or of your availability to do it. So, you know, mm-hmm. can join the clan, play up, you know, play with others that are similar to you and or your game style. If you want to play more hardcore, you know, there's more than enough to do for everybody. So, hey man, just and take your time. Enjoy the game for what it is and have fun. There's no need to rush mm-hmm. and spend, you know, I know some people, you know, some streamers were like, they stream for 38 hours straight to get to level 30 and they're like level 45 in a DZ or whatever. Hey, if that's your prerogative, that's your prerogative, you know, enjoy what you do and have fun. That's all that matters.
Yep. Yeah. Maybe later on this week, I'm probably going to focus more on Dark Zone because I haven't been there that long. I just been doing the other activities and campaign. That's all I've been doing. So hopefully that changes this week for me. But yeah, again, join our clan. Just search for Gamer Tag Radio. and you can join, and it's available. It's open. Anybody could join right now. So
you're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right. So later this week, there's a lot of things happening in San Francisco, GDC. I know there's going to be press conferences. One is from that I'm definitely going to be looking out for is Google, where they're going to be announcing the new gaming console they've been working on. So I'm going to be checking out that. I'm probably going to have a couple of daily conversations this week. I'm not sure. It all depends if Pete and Paris are available for this week. But just stay tuned to Gamertag Radio. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of fun. So head over to GamertagRadio.com, put your comments and feedback. Also, you could find us, subscribe to any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio, and we'll be available there, man. So on that note, we're going to wrap it up here. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.